All right, welcome back, everyone. Today, we're tackling something a lot of you have been asking about. And honestly, it's something I've been wanting to explore more deeply, too. Safety culture.
Safety culture. It's a big one.
Yeah, it really is. And to guide our deep dive, we've got this really interesting article from the British Safety Council India.
Oh, interesting. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're a global organization really focused on health, safety, well-being, all that good stuff.
Makes sense they'd be the ones writing about this.
Right. So the article's called Understanding Safety Culture, Key to Workplace Safety. And one of the things that really jumped out at me was they argue that a strong safety culture, it's not just about having rules.
Yeah, rules are important, but it's got to be more than that.
Exactly. It's about creating a mindset, like a shared mindset where everyone values and prioritizes safety. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's got to be baked into the company's DNA.
That's a great way to put it. Like DNA. It's not just a checklist.
Right. It's about how the entire organization operates, how people interact, how they think about things.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit. So they define safety culture as the shared values, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors, all related to safety within a company.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Pretty comprehensive.
Yeah. And they make this point that a strong safety culture, it's not just about preventing accidents.
Oh, I totally agree. Of course, that's crucial. But there's got to be more to it.
There is. It impacts so many other parts of the business.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when people genuinely feel safe and valued, it changes everything. Productivity, efficiency, even a company's reputation.
Like building a house on a solid foundation.
Exactly. Everything else is just stronger and better because of it.
Love that analogy. Okay, so how do we actually build this strong foundation?
Well, they break it down into like four key elements.
Okay, what are those?
The four C's: commitment, communication, collaboration, and continuous improvement.
Four C's. Sounds simple enough, but I'm guessing it's more complex than that.
Right. Like, how do these actually play out in a real workplace?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm curious about.
Okay, well, how about we imagine a scenario? Let's say you're in a manufacturing plant. A near-miss incident happens.
Okay, near-miss. Got it. So what happens next?
Well, first, we've got commitment. If the leadership, if they're truly committed to safety, they'll investigate that near-miss, no matter how small it seems.
Right. They don't just brush it under the rug.
Exactly. They take it seriously. Show everyone that safety is a priority.
It's about actions, not just words.
100%. Then comes communication. Everyone needs to know what happened, and more importantly, what they can learn from it.
Yeah, got to share those lessons learned.
Right. And it's got to be open and transparent. People need to feel safe to speak up. Like, hey, I noticed this potential hazard.
Feeling safe to speak up is so huge. Otherwise, problems just fester.
Totally. Some companies even have, like, anonymous reporting systems.
That's smart. Okay, so we've got commitment from the top and open communication. What about collaboration? That's the next C, right?
Right. Collaboration is all about breaking down silos. So after a near miss, you bring everyone together, the workers, the managers, safety folks, everyone who might have insights.
To figure out what went wrong and how to prevent it from happening again.
Exactly. It's a team effort. And it creates this shared responsibility for safety.
Okay, that makes sense. And then the last C, continuous improvement.
Yeah, this one's all about recognizing that safety is a journey. It's never really done. So you make changes based on what you learned, but then you keep evaluating.
You're constantly looking for ways to get better.
Exactly. You do audits, get feedback, always striving to improve.
It is a feedback loop. So how do you know if those improvements are actually working? The article mentions a bunch of ways to evaluate safety culture. Some of them sound pretty innovative.
Yeah, they go beyond those traditional checklist audits. Like, they talk about using surveys to see how comfortable employees feel reporting safety concerns.
Oh, that's smart. To get a sense of the real culture.
Exactly. Are people actually comfortable speaking up, or are they afraid of repercussions?
Right, because if people are afraid to speak up, then you've got a problem.
Exactly. And they also talk about, like, observations, not just checking for compliance, but actually seeing how people are behaving.
Yeah, like in the real world, are people actually following the procedures?
Right, because sometimes there's a gap between the written rules and what's actually happening.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And what about, like, getting feedback directly from employees? Do they talk about that?
They do. They're big on using focus groups and interviews. Let employees share their experiences and opinions.
It's like getting a pulse check on the culture.
Exactly. And it's not just about the numbers. It's about understanding the nuances of the workplace.
So it's about more than just checking boxes. It's about really listening to people.
Exactly. And they also emphasize the importance of analyzing past incidents, not to assign blame, but to learn from them.
Oh, that's so important. Learning from mistakes.
Right. Like, what contributed to the incident? Were there any systemic issues?
Turn those incidents into learning opportunities. I like that.
And they also talk about benchmarking, like comparing your performance to industry best practices.
To see where you stand and where you could improve.
Right. It can help you identify blind spots.
So we've covered these four C's and how they actually work in a real situation, plus some ways to evaluate the safety culture. It seems like the British Safety Council really advocates for being proactive.
Oh, absolutely. They want companies to take a comprehensive approach.
Okay, so how do we make this practical for our listeners? What can they actually do, even if they're not the CEO or in charge of safety?
That's a great question, and one that the article actually addresses really well.
Perfect, because I know our listeners are eager to hear those takeaways.
Me too. And I think you'll be surprised at how much impact individuals can have. One of the easiest things, honestly, is just encouraging open communication, you know?
Yeah, like if you see something, say something.
Exactly. Like if you spot a potential hazard, don't just ignore it. Report it.
And it's okay to ask questions too, right?
Absolutely. If you're not sure about a safety procedure, just ask for clarification.
Sometimes it's those little things that can make a big difference.
Totally. And you know, if your workplace doesn't already have a system for it, you could suggest setting up an anonymous reporting system for safety concerns.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
People might feel more comfortable speaking up if they can do it anonymously.
Right. Sometimes people are worried about, like, repercussions.
Totally. So important to create that psychological safety. What else can our listeners do, like, to be proactive?
Well, they can get involved, you know, like volunteer for safety committees or participate in those hazard identification walkthroughs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Those are great ways to not only contribute to making things safer, but also to learn more about the safety protocols and the potential risks in your workplace.
It's like taking ownership of safety rather than just passively following rules.
Exactly. And sometimes, honestly, just being a safety advocate amongst your coworkers can make a difference.
Like just encouraging people to follow the procedures.
Yeah. Remind people to wear their PPE, you know. Or share safety tips, best practices you've learned.
Just being a good influence.
Exactly. And if you're looking for a more structured way to contribute, you could always suggest like additional safety training or workshops for your team.
Ooh, good idea.
Always room for improvement, right?
Always learning.
Okay.
Okay, so speaking of improvement, I know that the British Safety Council does more than just provide information, right?
Yeah, they actually offer a whole range of services to help organizations develop and improve their safety cultures.
Like those 5-star audits I've heard about.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. They're internationally recognized.
What exactly do they involve?
They do this comprehensive assessment of an organization's entire safety management system. They look at everything. Occupational health and safety, environmental sustainability, process safety. You name it.
It's a pretty holistic view then.
It is. And that 5-star rating system, that's a great benchmark for organizations, shows they're serious about safety.
Like a stamp of approval.
Exactly. So, you know, if any of our listeners are looking for ways to improve safety in their own organization, reaching out to the British Safety Council could be a really good step.
Yeah, they seem to have a lot of expertise to offer. So this has been super insightful, but it's got me thinking.
What's that?
Well, the article focuses on workplace safety. But I wonder, how can we apply these principles of safety culture to other parts of our lives?
That's a good question.
Right. I mean, we've been talking about offices and factories, but these ideas seem way bigger than that.
They do, don't they? Like commitment, communication, collaboration, continuous improvement. Those are relevant everywhere, not just at work.
Exactly. It's about taking responsibility for safety in all aspects of our lives.
Totally. Like, think about your neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, imagine a neighborhood where everyone is committed to safety, they communicate openly, they work together to identify risks, and they're constantly trying to improve things. That would be a much safer community, right?
It would. It's like taking those same principles and applying them to a different setting.
Right. And it goes beyond just physical safety, too. What about online safety?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one these days.
Right. We spend so much time online now. Imagine if all online communities were focused on safety and well-being.
Yeah, like a safety culture for the internet.
Exactly. Where people feel empowered to report harassment, to share tips on how to protect their privacy, to work together to create a more respectful online environment.
Wow, that's a really cool vision. It shows how these ideas can have such a ripple effect.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, that's the power of safety culture. It's not just about preventing accidents at work, it's about creating a better world for everyone.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today. The four C's, practical ways to implement them, different ways to evaluate safety culture, and even how to apply these ideas beyond the workplace.
It's been a pretty deep dive.
It has. But as we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with something to ponder.
Okay, I like where this is going.
We've talked a lot about the what and the how of safety culture, but what about the why?
Oh, that's good. The why.
Why does this matter to you? What kind of world do you want to create for yourself and for those around you?
That's a deep question and a really important one.
It is, because ultimately, safety isn't just about avoiding accidents. It's about creating a sense of well-being, peace of mind, and shared responsibility for each other.
It's about creating spaces where everyone can thrive, physically, mentally, emotionally. And that's a vision worth striving for, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. So, listeners, I hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought. Keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing for a safer, healthier world for everyone.
And until next time, stay curious and stay safe.
So we're wrapping up our deep dive into safety culture. And I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay, shoot.
We've covered so much today, from the four C's to actually making it happen, and even thinking about how this goes way beyond just the workplace.
Yeah, it's been a pretty amazing conversation.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah.
And honestly, the British Safety Council gave us a lot to chew on.
Yeah, they really know their stuff.
Right. But here's the thing, and I think this is like the big takeaway. Building a safer world, it's not just about the rules or the systems.
It's about mindset, isn't it?
Yes. It's about all of us making that choice to really prioritize safety, no matter what we're doing.
It's like we all have to own it, not just leaving it to the experts.
Exactly. And when we
Yeah.
all feel that responsibility, that's when things really start to change, I think.
It's like planting a seed, right? And then
Yeah.
it grows into this whole culture where safety is just like second nature to everyone.
I love that. So, listeners, this is really just the beginning of your journey, right?
Keep exploring.
Keep learning, asking questions, and pushing for a safer, healthier world for all of us. That's what it's all about.
Couldn't have said it better myself.